Dear friends, in Christ, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus, and a happy Pentecost to you. God's word again from the second chapter of Acts. I won't read the entire thing, but the entire reading, but we want to take note of all the people there who were there in Jerusalem from all the different parts of the world, and Peter stood up among them with the 11. He lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Men of Judea, he said, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's word. Please be seated. A very wise and somewhat mischievous layman once said, he made the comment that if ever there was a golden age in the life of his congregation, he must have blinked and missed it. And the scripture seems to almost agree with that kind of a sentiment. The Hebrew scriptures begin with the recounting of an idyllic time in the human story, a paradise, the Garden of Eden. This golden age, however, was very shortly lived, and it occupies just a tiny space in the pages of the scriptures as contrasted with the multi-volume accounts of Israel being in bondage in Egypt and delivered and wandering through the wilderness and struggling to take the promised land, and then thereafter always fighting against their tendency to idolatry of following the gods of the Canaanites and the dreary, dreadful days of the Babylonian exile. Whatever happened to that golden age? And you know, the New Testament also begins with a golden age. A time when the fledgling church was excited and exciting. When they proclaimed the gospel boldly, even at great cost to life and limb. When the believers were all of one heart and soul in apostolic concord. When they all shared what they had together with one another. When the heretics had not yet muddied the theological waters and all was so blessedly simple. It was such a golden age. But like all other golden ages, it didn't last long. And now that early church that we read about today stands forever as a Camelot in our history. When for one brief, shiny moment, the church was everything that we wished that it could still be, a veritable foretaste of the kingdom of God. It all began with Pentecost. And of course, we're so accustomed to thinking of Pentecost as a Christian festival that we might forget that Pentecost existed for centuries before that as a Jewish feast. For the Jews, Pentecost, which means 50 days, was celebrated 50 days after the Passover, hence its name, and it was a kind of a harvest festival. It was a time for the people to renew their connections with God and with each other. It was a time for them to celebrate the ties of liberty and law that bound them together as a nation. And it was also a time, and this part is often overlooked, it was a time when God's people were charged to purposely leave the gleanings behind them, behind the harvest, in the field, so that aliens and strangers and the poor people could come into the field and glean what they could so that they could eat. And so in the celebration of Pentecost, the people would also give life and hope to strangers and aliens and the poor. Pentecost was also one of those occasions that had a way of stirring up nationalistic pride and fervor, which in the days of Jesus also highlighted the political frustration of the Jews who were then occupied by the Romans. And so they came to Pentecost, dreaming of Israel's golden age, especially as it was under King David, and praying mightily to God that that golden age would be restored to them. That Pentecost they came, and so did the Holy Spirit. As we read, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These images from Acts chapter 2 are compelling images, provocative images, images that bring to mind the wind of God that swept over the waters at the creation, and the breath of God that breathed life into that first human being. With the rushing of that wind and the tongues of fire, the apostles experienced the powerful and the intimate presence of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they fearlessly proclaimed Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen, healing aching souls, bearing witness to divine, incomparable love. And people responded by the thousands. They responded and were baptized. That Pentecost day ended very differently than how it had begun. With words that have now become the charter of the Christian church on earth, we read that these early believers dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. The Spirit had come. A new community had been born. And it was a very good beginning. A veritable golden age. And yet, this is perhaps precisely where the problem lies as well. It has been said by someone very wise that the greatest obstacle to the future success is past success. You see, from our failures and our mistakes, we can learn something. But our success can fool us into thinking that what we did way back then in the golden age must be the way it always is going to work. And so, well, we do what so many churches do. Over time, we standardize things, we systematize them, we codify them. This is how we do it. This is when we do it. This is why we do it. And this is who will do it. And so if anyone dreams a new dream or sees a new vision, they are met with, but that's not how we do it here. And without even realizing it, we become like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. We try to build a tent so that we can remain where we are and hold on to the moment. And when we are forced to come down from the mountain, we spend years and years pining for what used to be. The golden age always appears to us to be somewhere back there, back then. And as long as we cling to that, our past, our golden age, can actually get in the way of God's new work that He has set before us. Pentecost was a success. It was a great, fantastic success. But even that didn't last long. Before newcomers to the church, and especially non-Jewish converts, began creating something of a problematic situation, tensions arose in the church. Some Christians viewed these newbies as with a suspicious eye. They had not been part of the golden age. They didn't know the inside jokes. They didn't share the sense of history. They didn't know how things were done. They were interlopers. They were intruders. And yet, even as the insiders long for the good old days, it's the newcomers, oftentimes then and now, who are most open to the new possibilities. In the book of Acts, the days following Pentecost, The church was primarily of Jewish flavor. The people were Jewish converts. They all spoke Hebrew. They worshiped at the temple. They had a common sense of history as a people. So it was all pretty comfortable if you were a Jewish convert to the Christian faith. But for the movement to grow beyond its Jewish roots, God had to supply very special and insightful leaders, like Peter with his vision of the animals that he was supposed to eat, and Paul with his conversion, and then Greek Christians like Barnabas. And they, in turn, would establish a new base for Christian missions in a place like Antioch, proclaiming salvation for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Peter had preached that on Pentecost, but for quite a while, the church didn't really get that message out until Barnabas, Peter, and Paul caught the vision. And they went out and proclaimed, "Everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, Jews and Greeks and Mesopotamians and Cappadocians and Phrygians and the whole list." And many Christians became believers in Antioch, far away from the temple and from the Jewish roots of the faith, far away from the place where the golden age took place. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, we read what is probably one of the most underrated Bible passages of the New Testament. It says that it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. You know, it occurs to me we often celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the Christian church. But perhaps it would be more accurate to speak of Pentecost as the beginning of the gestation period and of the birth taking place in Antioch. Because it's not until Antioch that we see the Christians clearly distinguished from the Jews. Not just a sect of the Jews, but something entirely different. So that in Antioch they were called Christians. And they demonstrated a greater willingness to reach out to people beyond the normal synagogue membership. And it was from Antioch that the gospel went forth and turned the world upside down. It all began with Pentecost, but it could not stop there. Because the good news, oh, this is so good for us, friends. The good news is that the golden age of the church is not sometime way back when, whenever that was. The golden age of the church is always right now. And every now yet to come. For now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now the Spirit is blowing. Now the Spirit is calling people through His gospel, inviting them to come and to drink of the living waters that will well up in eternal life inside of them. Now the Spirit would use each and every one of us and all of us together to be His voice in this world. This is the time. This is the place. This is the golden age. For God has placed us here and now in His great Pentecost plan to reach the world for Christ. The Father simply has too much invested in all of those people out there to just let them go without at least trying to reach them. Christ gave His life for them, even as He gave His life for us. His atonement that He gave on the cross, His atonement is not limited to those of us who are presently saved, although we sometimes behave like that, don't we? But His atonement is universal. He died for all. Behold, John said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins, our sins, and also their sins out there who don't even know it yet. The sins of every man and woman and child that you meet along life's way. He died for all. And there's a lot of people around us who don't know that yet. Recently, I've spoken with the council and the stewardship board about something that God is doing in my heart, sparking in me a greater yearning to carry on this work of Pentecost with greater faithfulness and intentionality. And I hope and I pray that He would use me to spark that yearning in you as well. I feel, and others have shared with me that they feel it too, that we are at a time in our congregation's history when we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would ignite in us the fire of love, a love for God's Word, a love for one another within the fellowship of the body of Christ, and a fervent love for the people who are not here yet, who don't know about their Savior. And they have shared with me in their own words, I think, some of what I've been talking about today. But some of what holds us back is that we hold on to the past. We hold on to that golden age of our history when large families and shared community values and long-standing cherished traditions and less hectic family schedules all assured the well-being of the church. But we are beyond that golden age now. This is not the old Jerusalem that we knew and loved. This is Antioch. And while we can certainly celebrate what God did in the past, we can't hold on to it so tightly that it stymies what God would have us to be doing in this golden age of this day, in this place. So this summer, I'm going to be doing a lot of prayer and reading and discussing. And I would like you to pray with me. And I'd like some of you also to talk with me about this. That God would help us to dream dreams. That God would help us to see visions of what we can do as a church in faithfulness, greater faithfulness to this mission that Christ has given to us all. And then we will pray for the gumption to step forward into the present reality in which God has placed us, this golden age, as God would use us to draw more and more people to Christ crucified and risen for us. In a little while, I'll say just a little bit more about that, but will you join me now in a word of prayer? Almighty God, on this day, You opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of Your Holy Spirit. Even as the people would intentionally leave the gleanings in the field to bless the poor and the alien, help us to be intentional about sharing the blessing of salvation with those poor souls out there who do not know You. Let it begin with us, O Lord, that this day of Pentecost may be the beginning of something new, that we would reach out in this golden age and at this right time with the message of the world's salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.